Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. I'm really excited to be here tonight. I think we are opening up some really important, groundbreaking information. And my friend here is Dr. Richard Presser. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, everyone.
And as you might be aware from some of the news that has gone out, what we're really going to be discussing tonight is the crop circles. And I think there is a mystique about the crop circles that all of us are truly interested in. And most of us believe there is something more here than some man-made, signs in some crops. And for those who do not believe that myth, that these are man-made, we actually have guests here from Arcturus who wish to give us some information about the crop circles. But before we get with that, Richard, I'd like for you just to do a little thumbnail sketch of how this started.
Sure, Carolyn. I think the crop circles has been something that's been of interest to me for some years, and I've tended to monitor them, I guess, in overview terms. And as they began to come forth this year, I can't remember exactly what the trigger was, but something triggered one of our crop circle friends to come forward and suggest they'd like to give us messages about them. And so we thought, well, that would be fun, because there's so much speculation about what these patterns mean, and frankly, I find some of it fascinating. Some of it, as I've read it, has resonated with me. I'm just amazed by what people have been able to bring forth in regard to some of these patterns. But when the opportunity came forth to get it straight from the horse's mouth, as it were, it was too good an opportunity to pass up, and particularly since it became very evident to us that there was a very strong connection between the unfolding of these patterns and what awaits us at the end of 2012, which is, I guess, the subject of what Carolyn and I are focused on, that it just made sense to bring these forth.
Yes, thank you, Richard. And so what we are doing is the Arcturians, as these crop circles come forth, we are not in a position where we can take every crop circle and get the information from the Arcturians and send it forth. So what they have done is have gone over all of the crop circles that have shown up for this year and have chosen certain ones that they wish to comment on. And as these come forth, if people want to receive this in their email, all they've got to do is sign up, and when Richard sends them out, they will find each one of these crop circle information in their email. And so, Richard, where would people go to get these?
The best place would be to register at our 2012 website, which is the2012countdown.com. Just go to that website, and you can register at the bottom of any page on that website. Just put your name and email address in, and then respond to the email that gets sent to you, and you'll start receiving the emails.
Now, how I'm going to set up this program today is we're going to mention three different crop circles, and we're going to give highlights of what the Arcturians are saying that these crop circles mean. From the very beginning, they have been telling us that what is in the crop circle is information that triggers the subconscious. And, of course, they've been telling us that. And I guess, Richard, the way this got started is because I really, and I think you did too, wanted to know consciously what these crop circles meant, because for most of us, we have a difficult time trying to connect the conscious with the subconscious and come up with the information. And so the Arcturians are using these symbols to connect in very meaningful ways in the subconscious. And then the subconscious, you might say, drips into the consciousness that information. So we're going to comment on three different crop circles. We're going to give you the highlights of what the Arcturians are saying they mean, what they had in mind when they drew them. And then we're going to go back and give some information about how the Arcturians, first of all, why the Arcturians are doing it, give some idea as to how they are doing it, and give you some idea of the energy that is within the crop circles and how we can use that energy even if we do not participate and go to England and be in the middle of a crop circle. So, for those of you who are already getting our email, we're going to start with the one that we sent out that showed up around Stonehenge on May the 9th. So, Richard, if you'd give us a little thumbnail sketch of what the meaning was behind this. And maybe you could give the website, well, I don't know. Do we want to give the website?
That's too hard.
Yeah, it's too many letters in there, isn't it?
It is. But all you want to do, if you want to see these things, you just go to cropcircleconnected.com and you can pretty soon find them by the month and the date. It's very easy to find. So the key to this pattern, essentially what it consists of is, I guess you could say, two concentric circles which have either side of them two spirals. So there's one spiral either side of each circle. And so what the crop circle makers had to say about it was that it was designed to prompt the subconscious in regard to that spiral shape that we tend to associate with shells and other things, that is a reflection of what is known as the golden mean and shows up so much in creation. And what they said was it's a message to the subconscious saying that life has this relationship, and it's letting the subconscious know that all is well. And in part, it will calm the subconscious because there's been such disruption on this planet of ours, so much effort put in to dominate humanity in many ways, and there's so much fear and concern, I guess, flying about, that it was really in part an effort to calm the subconscious, and you could say let the subconscious know that all is well, as I said. So that's the primary focus of that crop circle pattern.
And as the Arcturians were telling us that, basically, we're in a period of time now where there is a lot of disruption in the world, a lot of things that can make a person feel anxious. So if you study the crop circle and know that this is programming the subconscious for balance, calmness, everything is going to be all right, you might help bring these emotions into your conscious mind. And one of the things that I had asked the Arcturians is if there was a relationship between the golden mean and that symbol that represents God in a figure eight lying on the side, so to speak. And what did they say, Richard? I thought it was interesting.
What they said was there is no implicit connection between the two, except that the golden mean is an expression of creation, and so by definition comes forth from the infinite one, and that figure eight on its side is what most would know as the infinity sign. So in a sense there's an implicit connection because in a sense they arise from the same source.
Thank you, Richard. Now, the next crop circle that we're going to look at is May the 5th, And it is at a place that's called Old Sarum, S-A-R-U-M. And how would you describe that, Richard? Like wings?
Well, yes. I mean, probably the dominant feature is a wing-like structure, I guess. It's contained within a circle. And you could say it's kind of a representative of a figure with wings attached to it, you could say. I mean, there are many ways you could potentially interpret this image, but that I guess, was the thing that stood out to me, was this wing-like nature to it. It's like almost like a set of wings or wings that have some structure within them, you know, some ribs or something to give them strength. So I'm probably not doing a great job of describing.
No, you're doing a fine job, because it's really hard describing an image. And if you really want to see what it looks like, you can go to thecropcircleconnector.com and look up the crop circle at Old Sarum, May the 5th. And this is a fascinating interpretation that they gave us. So what did they tell you, Richard, about this particular crop circle?
Yes, what they had to say was this was really the first pattern for the year, and so its focus really was those wing-like shape. And the message to the subconscious was that a message to say essentially this is the year when, in a sense, humanity will begin to take flight once more. And for those who've been, I guess, tracking some of the work that we're involved with, that makes a lot of sense. They're saying it's a time for reawakening of the skills and abilities that have long been forgotten. And so the year's patterns have begun with this trigger for the subconscious. They said there are other elements there, however, this is the major aspect they wanted to comment on. So, in a sense, a relatively simple pattern, but that sense of, again, balance and the sense to a message to the subconscious saying it's time to take flight.
Well, it is, according to them, time to take flight, but I wanted to bring forth something else that was interesting about this. Now, keep in mind, people who are on the list get the full transcript of what we're talking about. And the other thing that I found particularly interesting in this is that we can trigger the subconscious, and I found this particularly interesting, that we can work with the subconscious and bring into the conscious mind things that we would like to program. And to give you an example of that, you know, a person who plays golf, who hits the ball, you know that they're doing a certain amount of programming in the subconscious, and they're bringing that perfection into the conscious action. So the conscious and the subconscious works in tandem with one another. And I questioned the Arcturians about this, that if we can trigger the subconscious by a certain pattern, how can we bring that skill into the conscious mind? And so, Richard, what did you want to comment on how they suggested doing that?
Yes, it was interesting. They, in a sense, part of what triggered this conversation was that they mentioned that the subconscious could be pre-programmed, and indeed it was something that the military had been using. And so what they said was, really, we program the subconscious all the time. And as Carolyn said, you know, from a practicing of a skill like playing golf or indeed driving a car, all of that is a programming of the subconscious. And so what they said is you can do this by using affirmations and visualization, and then to act as if something is true. And you repeat this, and as you repeat it to the subconscious, it becomes accepted by the subconscious as being true, and it begins to operate accordingly. So we all have the ability to train our subconscious, and it's something that Carolyn and I have talked a bit about. We see it as being quite an important capability, because so much of us have, if you like, accepted the programming of our subconscious based on how we grew up. And sometimes those models are wonderful, and sometimes they're not so good. And indeed, we can change those models if we choose. If we actively choose the models that we want and we reinforce them, we can reprogram the subconscious. And that's a beautiful thing to understand.
Now, keep in mind, we only have an hour show, so we're not giving the full informational needs, but they are available. And, you know, sign up on the list. You'll get all of the future ones that are coming and get all of the message. Now, the next one that we're going to talk about is the one at Yarnbury Castle on May the 16th. And this is a very fascinating arrangement, because it has triangles, circles, and lots of lines. And so what did the Arcturians say about this, Richard?
What they had to say was there are many elements in this makeup that reflect the feminine. There is the number 28 with via the small circles around it. It contains a vesica Pisces. And so there are actually quite a number of elements here that are readily recognized within the subconscious as being connected with the feminine. And also the way the shape is put together is that it contains an expression of power. So it's a message to the subconscious about the power of the feminine, particularly the divine feminine coming forth once more into the world and coming forth in a powerful way. So it's, if you like, giving that message to the subconscious that indeed this is coming forth upon the planet.
And, of course, I had a question about that, the divine feminine and the masculine, the two roles working together, and just how important it was for the feminine now to bring out the qualities of the masculine in the form of compassion. So this is, you might say, a message from that divine feminine aspect of the female to bring out the qualities of the masculine that has to do with, as I said, compassion and balance.
Mm. And one of the things that they said in the original message is that there is a balance in this pattern. And so part of the message to the subconscious is that the divine feminine is coming forth in a balanced, supportive way, powerful, compassionate, and supportive. And in response to Carolyn's question, they said that all of this has been thoroughly planned, and the message that this pattern contains and communicates to the subconscious is one of balance and of compassion, not about domination. And so there are many subtle cues that are triggered by the pattern, and that indeed this interplay that Carolyn's speaking of will be, firstly, it's implicit in this pattern, but also will be reinforced by other events that unfold on the planet. So this balance will become more completely communicated as things unfold.
So what you might be assessing from this is that the Arcturians are, in effect, teaching us. And they are teaching us by sending this information to the subconscious. And the point of it all is to uplift the vibrations of humanity. And we have the Arcturians waiting on the line. Actually, they are very happy to be here, and they are ready to answer your questions. But before we take questions from the audience, if any of you have questions, I just want to bring forth a few little points that we had sent out in a message, because I think this is very fascinating. They're talking about energy, and keep in mind what we mentioned from them is that they are intent on uplifting the vibration of humanity, and it can be done in several ways. First, it's the pattern itself. By looking at the pattern, by studying the pattern, it raises your vibration. And it is because there is an energy that the pattern contains. And what they're saying is many have experienced these changes. If you meditate when you are, say you're fortunate enough to go to England and to be in one of these places where the crop circles are, there is this energy there that it contains the energy. And they're describing it to be like temples. But they are also mentioning that we can meditate and see ourselves in that pattern. In other words, if we're here in the States or another part of the world and we cannot physically go to where these crop circles are, that the energy is not quite the same as being there, but we can gain much from that. And they also talk about the impact upon the grain that's in the circles. In other words, there is grain that has been, you might say, impacted or impressed with that energy. It's been altered and in a positive way. And what's going to happen eventually is people will be eating that grain, and that is another way that it raises people's vibrations. So I think that is very fascinating. Now, what we'll do right now is we have a lot more information about the Arcturians, why they are choosing England. These particular places are along ley lines, and how the ley lines come into play as to how these patterns are put down into these grain crops. So what we'll do now, we have plenty more information to give, and we'll give it if there are callers who call in between this information, we'll bring it forth. But for now, if there's anybody on the line who who has a question of the Arcturians, they are here. And I just love it. I just think this is so exciting. Richard will bring forth their answers. So do we have someone on the line now that might wish to call with a question? Well, apparently we don't. So what I might say is think of your question. This might be one of the first times in your life that you have ever been able to communicate with an Arcturian and get an answer about these incredibly wonderful crop circles. So, we talked earlier about the telluric energies that are worked or used to work with the patterns. Richard, did you want to comment a little bit on what they said about this? Or do you want me to continue?
No, you can continue, Carol. You're doing a great job.
Okay, my friend. Well, Richard knows that I've always been so interested in the telluric energies or the Mary Michael lines. Depending upon your background, you would call them telluric energy or the Mary Michael lines. And, of course, this is energy. It is like a river of energy that runs right below the surface on the earth. And the Arcturians tell us, matter of fact, I'm being interrupted, Richard. I think they're going to put you to work. They wanted to give a little information on they perhaps think they could give a broader perspective than what I have here. So, do you want to connect and see what they have to say?
Okay. Here. And he is saying, these lines carry important energies for the planet. They are essentially magnetic energy. And these energies provide healing support for the planet and also provide healing for humanity. And this has been well understood by the wise ones of the past. The Druids used these energies very actively. And as you may know, particularly in France, these key sites were used for the locations of the Gothic cathedrals. And these energies were harnessed not only for healing, but indeed in that instance, the instance of the Gothic cathedrals, they were used to create a mechanism to clear past life karmic energies for assisting the preparation for those who wished to ascend. That process was much more drawn out and difficult than is possible now with the karmic clearing command that you two have been given. However, it is an illustration of how these energies can be utilized if they are husbanded and, you could say, harvested in the right way. I think that's it for now.
Would you say?
I think that's it for now.
Why, I would like to thank them. Then they use the telluric energies, and if you think of it, this underground river, so to speak.
Before you go on, Carolyn, did I hear someone wanting to had dialed in with a call? Did I hear a little bleep there?
I didn't hear it, but I'll be willing to stop and listen. I don't think so. I think maybe the bleep was the wind going by.
That could be.
Either that or we got a bleep and they're not speaking up. And so I do want you to bring in this little bit of conversation about these beings that work with nature, Richard, and actually work with the Arcturians in help in cooperating to put down these patterns.
Yes, that was very interesting. When we were asking them about how these patterns were produced, and they explained that they work very closely with beings known as the elementals, and they're beings that work very closely with nature and particularly with plants of all types, really, flowers and trees and grasses. And you could say they have a role in husbanding these aspects of nature. And so they explained that laying down these crop circles was a cooperative process between the Arcturians sending the patterns forth and the elementals working with the crops to have them lay down in this fashion. So they're saying that it's not something they do by themselves. It requires and utilizes this cooperation with the elementals. And they also explain that indeed it was intended that humanity cooperate closely with the elementals, and it's one of so many things that we have forgotten for various reasons, particularly since the fall in Atlantis. There's so much knowledge that has been forgotten. And indeed, they suggested ways that we can work with the elementals even today, working calling them forth and asking them to assist in helping us husband our own gardens, whether they be flowers or vegetables, and ask them to protect the crops. And they said it would make an amazing difference. So I found that fascinating.
Well, I did too, and also because it was a role of humanity earlier to actually work with the elementals. So it was planned originally that human beings would be working with elementals to bring forth an abundance within the garden. And this could not only be flowers, but, you know, it could be trees, it could be general nature. And I thought it was also interesting that they suggested to connect with the elementals and ask them to protect your flowers and your crops from illness and disease. I thought that was fascinating.
Mm, I did too.
So, friends, I can't imagine you're sitting out there and listening to this and not having a question. Ah, we got someone who has a question. And who am I speaking to, please? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Your name, please.
I'm Grace.
Hi, Grace. That's a beautiful name. Eve and Grace. So, Grace, what question would you like to ask?
I have been to Wiltshire and the Alton Barnes area, and have observed over a period of years that there are about a half dozen crop circles put down in that area each year, and particularly in this very wide womb-like field at the bottom of Milk Hill. And I was wondering, what are the power lines that are going through there? What makes that area so special? Because I'm aware of the Michael and Mary lines that Hamish Miller and Paul Broadhurst have plotted that go, that come up the tip of Land's End and go in a northeasterly direction across Britain. That isn't anywhere near, you know, they go through St. Michael's Mount and then on up out through East Anglia, I think, up into Germany. And then there are the Apollo and Athena lines that go running the other direction into a southeasterly direction. They go through northern Italy and down into Greece. But I don't know of any ley lines that are in that Alton Barnes area, and I was wondering what the Arcturians have to say about why that area seems to attract so many crop circles.
And I think this is a wonderful question, would you just repeat the name of that section that you're talking about? What did you say it was, the something Barnes?
Alton, A-L-T-O-N, Barnes.
Uh-huh. A-L-T-O-N, Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying, is you're not aware of ley lines there, and there's a
right.
lot of crop circles being placed down there. What is the attraction? So
exactly, particularly this huge field where often the biggest one of the season goes down, that's just below Milk Hill.
Uh-huh. I just love it. Somebody who's familiar with the area. So, Richard, what do they have to say about this?
Okay. This is an area which has long been utilized by beings of great spiritual tradition. It is true that there are no ley lines running through this area. However, there are great telluric energies which come forth in this region. And as you may be aware, humanity's activity can indeed enhance the way these energies flow forth. And this is an area where the work by those ones that you know of as the Druids have made a great deal of difference in terms of the flow which comes forth into this area. And so that is, for us, the attraction. It is an area, as I say, that carries great energies and, in a sense, great, you could call, spiritual history.
So great.
Thank you.
Was there anything else you wish to add to that, or did that answer your question? Or maybe you had another question.
Well, I'd like to, he mentioned the word telluric, and I'd like to have that explained a little more. I've not heard that word before.
Richard?
Mm. Telluric is a term used to describe the energies that flow in what you call the ley lines. It is, you could say, energy of the earth, and it is predominantly magnetic in nature. And it is, you could say, in contrast to the cosmic energies which come forth from above. And so if one looks at something like one of the Gothic cathedrals, that those buildings were designed to encourage the telluric energies from within the ground, you could say, and also were shaped to bring down the cosmic energies from above and combine the two in a specific way. So telluric is simply a term for the energies that flow within ley lines and indeed come forth from other particular, what you might call, power points in the earth.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Grace. We just love bringing this forth. So, my friends, we have about, 15 minutes. If you have a question, get your little dialing fingers ready because 15 goes fast. Oh, okay, we have a caller. And your name, please. Hello? Is there a voice at the other end of this beep? Cat got your tongue, huh? Okay. We either have a very shy caller or we have an anxious person at the radio station. Oh, we got another beep. Who's on the line?
This is Tony.
Hi, Tony. What's your question, dear?
I guess I kind of have two questions. My first question is the designs and the patterns they come up with and the timing. How critical are those? So basically, when they put down a particular pattern and the time they put it down, are those two interrelated?
I want to try to understand your question precisely. The pattern that they put down and the
mm-hmm.
time that it is put down, is there a connection between the two? Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay. Richard?
Mm. And he is saying, there are times when patterns are placed to, you could say, foretell events, to flag what is coming forth. And indeed, you witnessed that last year with patterns coming forth pointing to the powerful energies to arrive upon your planet in July of last year. And the pattern of the 2nd of June of this year has within it a pointer to the coming full moon in June, which is a very powerful full moon following the solstice. So, in a sense, the timing aspect in these was that they were pointing to these specific dates. Very few patterns are closely timed such that they need to occur on a particular day, though we have chosen to bring forth patterns on a particular day after individuals were discussing the possibility of a pattern coming forth to reflect a particular thing. There was a time when there was a discussion about the possibility of a Mandelbrot pattern coming forth, so we sent one.
I love it. Okay. Tony, you have another question.
Yeah, I got one more question. This is a little off the wall, but does it exert a lot of energy when they create and make those patterns for us?
Okay, now I want to understand the question. You're talking about the amount of energy that's used to put these patterns in the crop. Is that the question?
Yes.
Maybe part of the question, too, is where the energy comes from. Would that suffice?
Yep, sure would.
Okay, Richard?
You may think that laying down these patterns requires great energy. In truth, this is not the case. As I mentioned, these are laid down through cooperation between those of us sending these patterns forth and the elementals present on your planet. So you could say it is more like a set of instructions that we send forth than great energy. Most of the work is in fact done by the elementals, not by us. And yes, there are energies that we do send forth, and much of that energy, you could say, is encoded in the instruction set that we send forth. And so it is primarily the creation of the pattern itself which sets up the energies that people feel in those locations when the pattern is formed. It is, you could say, triggered by the geometry contained within the pattern. So, in summary, there is not a great deal of energy that we need to send forth to form these patterns.
Interesting, isn't it, Tony?
Very interesting. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, I really like that answer, and I'd like to thank the Arcturian for that, because what that is telling us, my friends, is by cooperating with the elementals, what we could do for our gardens and, you know, our own crops. And so we have another caller. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Star brothers and sisters.
Your name, please.
Junie.
Hi, Junie.
What
can we do for you, Junie?
They mentioned the divine feminine, and of course my ears pricked up. And meaning,
oh, they fell off. They didn't just prick up, they fell off.
Yeah. I want to know, you know, in everything they want to tell us about what that means for us as women and for the planet that's a female and how that should manifest and what we can do in this world to bring that forward.
Yeah, they like those lead-on questions. Come on, Junie, let's get this down to a little question here. Okay, they've sent us a picture of the divine feminine, and it's working on our subconscious. We talked about balance. So let's put a question to them that's kind of a little bit more succinct, that makes it a little easier for them to answer. So how would you arrange that, dear?
How can we as individual women bring that forward?
Now, the balance forward or the divine feminine forward?
Divine feminine.
Okay, that's a good question. How can we women bring forth the divine feminine? I'm anxious in hearing this answer, Richard.
Let's see what they've got to say. They're saying this is a very interesting question. The issue of the divine feminine coming forth is not just an issue for planet Earth. Some of you who are aware of the activities of the dark across the cosmos will understand that they have actively targeted the divine feminine. And so this ending of the cycle of the dark, which coincides with what you know of as that solstice of December 2012, will see the ending of that so-called cycle of the dark, which indeed has been a very long one. And so both in response to and in preparation for that transition, there are energies of the divine feminine which are being sent forth. And in a sense, for women on planet Earth, it is simply a matter of acknowledging who and what you are as expressions of the feminine, and indeed implicitly expressions of the divine feminine, and begin to claim your power and your right to be fully expressed in balance with the masculine. That is all you need to do, to begin to stand in your power as a woman and own that power, and own that power with compassion and with love. It is not about the dominance of either the feminine or the masculine. It is about returning balance and indeed bringing forth the divine masculine, because that has also been missing upon your planet. And so it is about standing in balance, standing in your power, and know that the energies are coming forth to support that. They have been coming to your planet for some time and will continue to do so, and will continue to intensify leading up to that solstice of December 2012. And so it is.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, Junie.
Thank you so much.
Folks, we have maybe, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. If there's a question that you have, now's the time to call the number. We're here. We got another caller. And your name?
This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
What's your question,
dear? Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome,
the question
and
we're
delighted to do it.
The question I have is that I live in the Sierra Nevada mountains near Yosemite. And I have long thought that because there's crystal and gold and pine trees and all these wonderful animals and such out here, that this is a very high energetic place for spiritual development. And I'm wondering if you or the Arcturians would comment on that, if having those elements in the ground are beneficial to one's development.
I want to phrase this in such a way that they know exactly what you're looking for. I think what you're saying, Jackie, is this correct, that you have elements in the ground that you think would raise the vibrations of the people who live there. Is that the question that you're asking them?
I think so. Or at least it's, you know, more available.
Okay, so you have this lovely area around Yosemite, and it truly is beautiful. I've been there. Not maybe the exact place you're talking about. And it is beautiful, and you do have a sense of this spirituality. And so maybe we should put the question as such that these beautiful, magnificent areas upon the earth where it has this great sense of spirituality, are these good places to raise the vibrations of a human being? Is that kind of what you're asking? Good. Okay.
I think that would be good.
Good. All right. Richard?
As you have identified, these elements assist the uplifting of the vibration of a human being. And so locations such as this upon your planet do assist, you could say, the preparation process for what is happening upon your planet. However, I would say that more powerful than this is the impact of the energies which are building up and are being sent forth to the planet through the various gateways, particularly since August of last year. These energies have been building. And so a location such as yours will continue to assist the process. However, everyone on the planet is experiencing a significant shift in their vibration, you could say, as a result of these energies coming forth. And so there, for certain work, they are preferential locations. However, in general terms, being present upon the planet at this time is is the most powerful thing you can do.
Okay. And are these waves coming in certain rhythms, certain time?
Jackie, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry to be interrupting you because we only have a couple minutes here. What I would suggest is this. No, wait a minute. I do have something to tell you. We discuss these energies every month. Yeshua and Mother Mary usually come forth and give Richard and me information on the full moons, new moons sometimes, and that's all on our website. Richard, would you be kind enough to tell Jackie a little bit about that?
Sure. Jackie, if you go to the 2012countdown.com website, you'll see a page on that website called the 2012 Timeline. And what's on that page is recordings and the messages that have come forth describing the energies for these various gateways. So, what's happening is basically the full moons are powerful monthly gateways, and so energies are sent forth through those. But also there are other key gateways, which are the solstices and equinoxes, for example, and in some cases key numerically significant dates. And those, by and large, tend to occur more towards the back end of the year. And also when there are eclipses, those events are much more powerful than, say, a standard full moon. So those, you can read all of those messages. We've been taking a message each full moon essentially since, you know, for probably a year and a half or more. And you can see the build-up if you track those messages going back over that time. And they've become, as I say, especially powerful since August of last year.
Well, Richard, we're right here up at the end of the hour. And I want to thank you for bringing forth the message. I want to thank the Arcturians and ask them if they'll come forth again for another show, because I thought this was fascinating.
They're saying we would love to do this.
Very good. And so all of my friends out there, keep in touch for more to come. See you next week.
Bye for now.